Babble with the mind. Babble with the mind.
Now, the Personal Development Radio Show with Brady Cameron, the radio program that gives you the tools to succeed in life and your career. Now, here's your host, Brady Cameron.
And that's me they're talking about. I am back with you for your second hour of intergalactic, super fantastic personal development and business power. And in fact, I was going, you know what, I was going to start off with why working a regular traditional job is not the way to wealth or happiness. But you know what? I'm going to change my mind.
Oh, you're not a woman. You're not allowed to change your mind.
I can do it too.
Only we're allowed to change our minds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in that alternate reality.
Oh, okay.
We are going to go with 6 ways to make meetings more exciting.
Oh, thank goodness.
By Katie Reynolds. She's the marketing manager of webinars and public relations at Vistage International. Now, I might not agree with all of it, so what we're going to do as usual, we're going to go through it, and then we're going to break down what we agree with and what we don't agree with, and then offer some insights into what we think and maybe make it even a little bit better. So, from that point, the first rule in getting people to not hate meetings is to not have too many. While you may think Monday morning meetings is just the right thing to set the tone for the week, your staff may not. In fact, many of them are still thinking about the weekend. And the last thing they want to do is sit through an unnecessary meeting. That's not to say weekly meetings are always a bad idea. Just make sure that there's truly something to meet about before you do. For many businesses and teams, a monthly meeting is enough, with weekly updates communicated via other means such as email. Now, first thing I'm going to say about that is that if your staff members are there on Monday morning, they don't need to be thinking about the weekend, okay? So what needs to happen at this point in time is that maybe you need either new employees or you need to use a pattern interrupter, okay, to get them focused back on what they're doing and giving them a reason to be present and focus on what needs to happen. This could be, okay?
Or, get to work.
And if that one doesn't work, you know, then maybe right away you can implement a bonus plan for the week. You know, and you can make this and shape this to whatever your particular business is. But, you know, whatever new salesman or, you know, whatever the case may be, gets this amount of deals by the end of Friday, then they're going to get a bonus of $200 in cash or $300 in cash or whatever you're willing to do and can spare and so forth and whatnot. Because sometimes if people come in from the weekend and they're feeling like, oh, man, what a great weekend, man. I'm so hungover, you know. Well, you know, dude, you're bringing your problems into our business now, and that creates a big problem with me, you know. So if someone, employees like that with me probably just aren't going to be around very long. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'll kick your butt to the curb, okay? It's that simple. You keep consistent. I understand from time to time you can come in from the weekend and you got a big problem and your mind is just not there. Time from time, I understand that can happen. But if you're one of these dudes or girls who always come in consistently every single Monday with something majorly dramatic has happened and you're just not getting into the deal and we don't really get you even start participating in the work until Tuesday afternoon most of the time, dude, you're out of there.
Yeah,
it's just that simple.
And they got to share it with all the coworkers.
Of course, every got to meet around the cooler and tell everybody else what happened.
And then you're kind of acting like an energy vampire even because
they
you're
are. That's what
everybody.
They are.
Draining everybody around you.
And draining the business.
You know what I like to do the night before a new work week? I like to reset my mind and set goals and decide what's going to happen that week. That way, when I get to work, I'm not thinking about the weekend.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting, too, especially, is, okay, they come in from the weekend.
I'm a fawn.
That's right.
They come in from the weekend with a problem, right? And maybe even late. But I guarantee you, Friday afternoon, they'll be there for their paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a crap what's happened.
With
okay?
a smile on their face.
Jesus could be coming down. Right. And they're like, whoa. We get paid at 2, it's 1:57. You're going to have to wait 3 minutes, dude, because I am not missing this check, okay?
That's right.
So, and that really does perturb, it really perturbs me because that just shows me they're not in it to win it. Like I said, occasionally, things happen. I'm cool with that. we can work through this, okay? But if it's an every Monday morning event, dude, you're out of here, you know? And if another thing to do is use a pattern interrupter to shift them from what they are thinking about into shifting into something that's got maybe even more pleasure associated with it. That, because one of the problems might be, guy needs $300 extra dollars for his rent coming Friday, and he's stressed about it. Mm. We're going to do a deal, $300 this week. You know, what?
Opportunity.
That's opportunity. I can pay my bills with that, you know, and so forth. So you really have to use a lot of pattern interrupters in order to get people involved in what it is that you're doing. I mean, what they're doing, excuse me. Most of the time, people are not involved in what they're doing, so you got to get them involved in what they're doing.
It probably helps if they kind of love what they're doing in the first place, or at least enjoy the general process.
Yeah, but who does that?
I do.
Not care about their work.
Your point is valid.
I do.
I mean, your point is very valid. But
people who care about their work and feel like they're actually contributing to something that's big for them.
Most people who have regular jobs hate their jobs, hate being there, don't want to be there, and they make that very clear when you walk in and talk to them. You know.
But isn't that kind of, it's those same people that you can ask them a question, what is it that makes you happy or what brings you pleasure? And they can't even answer you because they don't even give those kind of things any kind of thought.
Sure.
You know Absolutely. What? That's why I think it's a choice. Yes. I don't think it's a choice. I know it's a choice.
Exactly.
If you want to get involved in the conversations here, if you're local, it's 702-731-1230. 702-731-1230, 866-820-5528. 866-820-5528. Most of you explained to me in my emails, which you can email me, brady@cox.net. No, wait a minute. It's brady@creatology.net.
Or dot com.
Dot com. It's dot com. I'm sorry. I'll get it right in a minute. Man, I really messed that up, didn't I? You know what?
Brady@creatology.
Yeah. brady@creatology.com. But anyway, because some of you are hitting me, and I've got two or three different emails, and some of you hit me at my other website, email too, which is fine. But one thing everyone says that is really interesting to me, and then we'll get back on topic, is we do such a good job at explaining things that we answer a lot of their questions during the process of the show. And so they're like, you know, it's kind of like, so what am I going to do? Call in and ask something that you've already covered? You know, because if you think about it, really, they kind of get four different perspectives, even though they might be in alignment. We also kind of go off down little trails where the other one didn't go. So we really do hit a lot of areas.
You know what I'd like to hear? I'd like to hear stories and examples of how people have maybe applied what they hear on our show or applied what they know to be true.
Absolutely. You're and sure your success.
And you can do that at 702-731-1230 or 866-820-5528 or brady@creatology.com. Send me your emails, and maybe I'll start making it a regular segment of the show that will hit three or four emails or something like that. So back to what we were talking about.
Share. I like how you just got those people involved in what we're doing.
Aren't they good? Aren't they wonderful?
You're a fawn.
I am a fawn. A force of nature. A force that cannot be stopped. I must be reckoned with. If it sound, you know, what you got to know about this show is that if you hear things that just sound like, man, that's good stuff, that's because it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's just no denying that fact of life. Share ownership of the meeting. It's a basic fact of human nature. We're much more interested in our own things than we are in someone else's. Accordingly, if you want to get people excited about a meeting, let them make it their own. Devoting even a few minutes to key personnel can let them feel like the whole process was worthwhile. If you, for some reason, it's important to your business to have regular meetings, consider passing the role of facilitating the meeting around the team. Okay, I don't agree with that, but here's what I do agree with. Let me give you an offshoot idea of that. And a memo should be shot out to each and every person who's going to be present at the meeting. Then they should be made to bring an idea, their best idea that they think, to the table about how to solve the obstacle or how to implement this new service or this new product or a great idea about marketing and getting it off its feet or whatever you guys are focusing on for that meeting. Keep it on topic, but bring your ideas and encourage that. And you might even put a thing in there that, you know, the best ideas rewarded with a dinner for two at a local restaurant or some type of little, you know, a little gift that, you know, because who knows what you're going to make off the situation. So spread the love, reward it, you know.
I really like that comment because a lot of people don't realize how respectful it is to let people know what the meeting's going to be about before they get to the meeting. You know, they think, well, I've called the meeting, then you should just know that you need to be there. Well, if I know what it's about, then I can be more prepared to be there.
Correct.
You
know? I agree.
Yeah, you can prime your mind also to know maybe what questions you might have or different scenarios.
I agree.
You need to know about.
And she just addressed this. Provide incentives for attending and paying attention during a meeting. Food is often a great motivator for teams. Serving bagels and cream cheese can help encourage meeting attendance and participation. As much as human beings like to think they're motivated by higher interests, over time your team will become will begin to associate meetings with time of delectable treats. Now, first of all, I don't like cream cheese.
Right.
And I don't like bagels. So what you might want to do is find out, you know, how many people are going to be there and what are their favorite little treat and make sure that those treats are available for that person while they're there. You know, I mean, especially now, if you're a big company, that seems a little impractical, but also if you're a big company, you can afford it. You know, and at the same time, if you're a little company, it's easier to do. Because if you got 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 people sitting around, you know, at the table, that's a lot easier to bring those treats to. You know, someone could like Dunkin' Donuts. Well, great, bring them 2 glazed Dunkin' Donuts. What do they cost? Ain't that much? You know?
Well, every business is going to have their logistics to work out.
Sure.
But the point is obviously, you know, what you're saying. Try to make it to where there's a benefit for each person to be there.
Right, and that's what I think is important in the situation, and to get them involved. Because I want them to get some dopamine and serotonin released during me so that I got them really present. They're like, yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, try your best to cater to the people who are working with you to help build your company.
Consider creative meeting venues. Sitting around a table in a conference room can be a great way to get things done quickly. It's also a great way to stifle creativity for a change of pace. Get out from under the fluorescent glow of the conference room and hold your meeting somewhere else, such as a local restaurant. Even meeting in a different part of the building can help.
Change of scenery.
I think that's important, too. Vary presentation formats. If the primary purpose of meeting is to disseminate information, the last thing you want to do is barrage your team with data orally for an hour and a half. Likewise, all PowerPoint presentations start to look the same after a while. I agree with that.
Meh.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, dude, you're boring me to death. You know.
What'd you say?
Use breakout. Go ahead.
They're not going to want to come for fear they're going to have to watch another home movie.
Yeah. Use breakout sessions to troubleshoot and collect feedback. Consider stopping during a meeting and break into small groups. Small groups can do a number of things for you in the middle of the meeting. For example, they can brainstorm possible solutions to a problem presented during the meeting. They can also be a great source of feedback. You can even use a breakout session like this during your next meeting to get ideas about making meetings more exciting. Meetings can be more than a necessary evil. A good leader is able to identify ways to give people the information they need, have the discussion they need to happen, and still keep everyone interested. Try any of these 6 tactics and you may soon find that people will stop dreading your meetings and may even start asking when the next meeting will be scheduled.
The breakout session is a real good idea also because some people might be intimidated by other people that are present.
Correct.
And they might be more open to sharing their brilliant idea that they might have.
I don't want to work with Steve.
Oh, right.
So I would love to break off and do another unit. So
okay.
That works for me. See? So I understand.
Because you're intimidated.
I understand that one. Do what?
Because you're intimidated.
Because I'm intimidated, you know. I don't want to work with the masterful Steven Garcia. He has the black truck outside just... For those of you who didn't like him insulting me. All right, here we go. Anything else before we move forward with the next segment? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to let Kimballistique bring out her Creotology teaching for this week.
Yay!
And then we will return after that with why working a regular traditional job is not the way to wealth or happiness.
All right. Well, today, again, I'm going to be paraphrasing from the Creatology, the teachings of Soka Draconis, the Initiate, which was written by Brady Cameron.
Yay. I know that guy.
Yes, yes, we all do. So Creatology, first of all, I thought I would mention that it's the Creo is the root word for creation, and entology is a study of something. So basically, with creatology, we have the study of creation. So reading the teachings of Soka Draconis, the initiate, is like being handed a working formula today, because you can get that for free at the creatology website. Well, your email address is all it's going to cost. But reading this book is like being handed a working formula that lets you understand the process for obtaining your goals and living your dreams. The science of this formula makes you a scientist of your own life and working from your own scope. It will be up to you to produce a laboratory for these creations to be manifested in. It is fully possible to base your life on empirical evidence, which simply means to be able to observe it and then to measure it. So, with creatology, I think one of the coolest things about it is that it lets you discover for yourself your own creational formula. It is up to you to determine what it is that you learn from the direct learning exercises, as opposed to being handed a book of procedures and being told that this is precisely how you do it, because everybody is different, as Steve mentioned earlier, and I think a lot of people forget that, and it's really important to remember that we are not all the same. So the creational formula that you can find on page 152 will teach you how to get it starts with getting informed. That's the, you must research and gather as much data as possible about what it is that you're trying to create and how to create it. Now I'm just, again, I'm just paraphrasing, giving you little tidbits so to whet your appetite. So number two is to place your energy into the real goal that you're trying to create. Three, place your full attention into the belief itself. So number four is this defines the borders of the creation, because then you're able to see, you know, just how and feel how large you want it to grow. And then, of course, number five is to leave the energy of the attention on the goal, or to put energy in. Now, it's not mentioned in this portion of the book, but it is in the initiate that we also, creatology instructs you on how to take energy out of something, because sometimes it's just as important to learn how to dissolve a creation as it is to learn how to get a creation going. So, by following this process, you will, now see, where did I get lost? Here we go. By following this process, you're going to find that now you're working from within your mind, that your brain formulated. The goal will create, because now it is part of the creative process of your brain and the mind. And that's really important to bring all of those things together so that you can achieve the goals that it is that you're trying to accomplish. So, and I know that I already mentioned this before, but it was what I felt was one of the most important aspects to having your creational goals manifest, is taking the time to appreciate the experience of feeling that the goal has been achieved and experience that dream. Do not forget to tell yourself that you're appreciative of the effort. Recognize yourself as a creational master. That's not an ego. That's not somebody that has an egomaniac problem just because they have a lot of self-confidence in their ability to achieve what it is they set out to do.
Self-confidence is good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I was just going to whet your appetite today, because I can't urge enough people to click the button and get yourself the download of The Initiate, written by Brady Cameron.
Well, thank you very much, Kim. That was very nice introduction back to me. And now what we're going to go into is why working a regular traditional job is not the way to wealth or happiness, no matter what Loverboy may tell you. It is true that most people are working for the weekend. But however, we're going to do something different. We're going to work for success.
Yay!
Ask yourself this question. How often do you find an individual that really loves their job? I mean, when you talk to them, they are intoxicated by it. They are happy to be there. They want to be there. They act like they want to be there. They sound like they want to be there. You're all like, please, what planet are you talking? What planet are we supposed to go to find this?
Right?
Okay, well, It is true. I've found very few people who have this type of attitude about the job, and we all know that the overwhelming amount of people don't feel that way at all. So, ask most people what they think about their job, and their reply is, it's okay, I guess. It's not what I want. I want to be doing for the rest of my life. That's for sure. It's a job for now.
Pays the bills.
I hate my job. I don't even want to talk about it. My boss is an idiot. I work too much for so little in return. No one appreciates me at my job. I am really burned out. Pays the bills for now. Have you heard any of these things?
I don't
when you
want
ask
to hear
people?
Anymore.
But these are real statements. This
yes.
is what people
oh,
say
yes.
in real life. Now, this might even sound like you in some ways. Maybe you have said that before. A regular job that you do just for money is always going to come up short. And here are some reasons why. Your job is never going to pay you what you are truly worth. In most cases, there are too many other people working there, and they have to be paid as well. Resources can only go so far. You will never feel appreciated the way you want to be, and therefore it will always feel as though you're being taken for granted.
I think also, though, that don't you think working a normal job puts limitations that you're only supposed to perform within these parameters of what it is we're asking you to do?
I would appreciate it if you don't get ahead of me.
Oh.
Well, or I was going down that road. No, Kim,
but
you're right. You're
path.
Very right. You're very, very right. Lose your job and all your income is gone, and that makes you a slave to the wage. You live in fear of losing your job. You feel trapped and domesticated and become resentful of your job. You are on the lower end of the spectrum with a job because the government takes their bite out of your check before you do.
Well, those are great ways to live, huh?
Mm-hmm. You have planned your life around your job, and it seems what you want always comes last. You never have enough energy to enjoy life after your job. You do not get paid fairly for the contributions you make to your job, for your creativity, if you actually put some into your job. The list goes on, and you know it. So what is the alternative? Create a career. You mean planning and prospecting and living with purpose and designing my way forward and all those things?
Yes.
Yes. Your career statement is about you and how you see yourself. So, you could ask yourself such things as, what would I truly be happy doing? And at the same time, could make money at it. Because here's another fact of life. You may have the ability to do something and truly enjoy it. Other people are doing it too, but they're not making the kind of money you could make at it because you're just much better at it.
Mm.
Okay? Or you're more creative at it, or you love it more. They're doing it because they're making money at it. You're doing it because you love it.
You really have a niche
yeah.
that you've figured out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Your career can turn you into a force of nature because it can empower you and bring out your passion and enthusiasm. A career can tap into your creative force and make you go to new levels of thinking and thinking in different ways. In teaching self-responsibility for being accountable to yourself and others, where it teaches you self-responsibility for being accountable to yourself and others. You serve in the role of the leader. Ah! Leader! Most people are running from the microphone. They're running from the radio right now. You're earning equity in your life. Did you hear that, folks? You're earning equity in your life. You get paid on the front end and the back end of your business. You have more control and flexibility of your time and life. Career. Find out what you enjoy and see if there's a way to make a living at it. Go back to school. Get an education. Get a mentor. Or nowadays, you can learn anything you want from courses and books. If you're going to work for yourself, this is the way to go.
Internships is another really great way to
Well, you know,
see if try on the creation.
My big realization has been for me is that for my particular path and the way that I'm going, a traditional education is not the path for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is a path for me is to decide and or to define clearly what it is that I want and where do I want to be and what is the knowledge and the information that I need in order to get me there and put my time into a mentor, workshops, audios, books, find a mentor, meaning find someone who's in that related field and deal with them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all types of ways now that, you know, we have so much available to us now as learning, ways to learn that we didn't have 20, 30 years ago. But now we do that. I mean, like just for plain, for an example, a gentleman who does websites who I know didn't go to school to learn how to build websites. And it's also very expensive to go to that school and learn how to build these websites. So what he did is he just went out and got the courses and the books, sat down at the computer, crack, 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 mm-hmm. crack, learned how to do it. And he said when he estimated it out, it took him a third of the price to learn how to build websites than had he went to a school. Second thing is the school would have made him move at their pace.
Right.
Instead of being able to move at his pace because he's very sharp, very smart guy. So he would actually be held back. So today, you know, he's absolutely one of the very best website builders and SEO guys, you know, that I personally know. And he did it on a third of education. He did it without being held back in a time restraint. And still today, continues to learn, goes to courses, listens to other people. He's got a bunch of friends in the field now who he's always talking with, and they're passing things back and forth to each other. And it's, you know, it's a whole different world out there now, man. It's a changed world. And that's not saying that an education, a traditional education isn't good. I'm not saying that. Traditional educations are awesome if you get a real degree in something that's marketable. All right, though. Yeah, I got my PhD in basket weaving. Cost me $100,000. Yeah. I got my degree in knowing what size a sneaker is simply by looking at the imprint it made in the mud. Cost me $100,000, but I'm a PhD in it now. It doesn't matter what you spend on your education if what you spent the money for is not marketable in the real world. All you're doing is sitting there with a $100,000 piece of tissue paper. That's it. And it could have been done in a lot shorter time, achieved in a lot quicker fashion, if you'd found a mentor and just maybe went at it another way. So, like I said, I'm not saying that's the only way to do it. I'm saying that's an option. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody, but it is for some. For me, mine is marketing and sales and learning how to run a business proficiently. Do I have to go and get a master's or a PhD in order to do that? No.
Probably not.
You know, I've already been involved in this stuff, you know, for the better part of, you know, 25 years, 30 years now, and I continue to read courses, study books, you know, so forth and whatnot. And
trial and error.
Real world working, okay? Mm-hmm. Error is the real, that's the real education.
Yes.
If you can go through your business through trial and error and you end up finding, well, that don't work and that doesn't work and that, but they said that would work. You know, it doesn't work very well. Let me tell you something. I have read a lot of stuff on business and I'm going to tell you right now, about 90% of what I read is crap. Because in a real world, real business working situation, man, all they did was sold me some words in a book, okay, because that stuff ain't working. Mm-hmm. Or by the time you get your, or the other thing is if you're not in a real world working situation, which is why I'm pushing that so hard, find a mentor, okay? By the time the book's written, the information could be outdated. But I guarantee you that mentor who's successful, who knows what he's doing, or she knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Up to date.
Man, they are going to shave that learning curve off you. Big time. You're going to save a lot of money. You might make up for it. You might have put a little extra work and effort into the situation. But the education that they give you back is great. I love Donald Trump's apprentice. That's a great idea. You know, look at the people who have emerged from that and mm-hmm. the things that they've learned from each other. Valuable stuff. So,
you know, I think it's because you've mentioned before, and I learned from it very well, was that if you want to learn how to do something, one of the easiest ways is to ask somebody that's, you know, an expert in the field. You're not going to go to somebody that's sitting on the side of the road that may not have a clue what it is that, you know, the information that you're trying to find, you know, compared to, you know, just finding, like you said, nowadays, the communication lines are open. It shouldn't be that difficult to find somebody that's willing to talk to you about what they know.
Yeah, you know, this kind of, I'm going to use a prime example as martial arts. We'll talk about that for a moment. Man, there's so many avenues that are available to us today that was not there 20, 30 years ago. YouTube, mm-hmm. everybody putting out all types of DVDs, the UFC, and all the stuff they put out. Mm-hmm. You can literally now go, I want to learn, let's just say, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's the only plug I'm going to give. If you want another plug, you got to pay me for it. All right. So what happens is, let's say you want to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, they got videos now that go step by step, I mean technique by technique, step by step, that explains to you each belt level. Okay? Well, now, I might be a little old school still here, okay? But the problem is, it would be better if you actually went to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, got a qualified, certified black belt in that system, learned from them, used the audios and things of that nature as visuals to continue updating your information and maybe even start skipping ahead to where the instructor might be, well, how the heck did you learn that? You
know, pre-prepared.
And like, okay, well, mm-hmm. we're going to maybe advance you a little quicker because this guy's boy's moving along, okay? So, you know, if you can get a mentor and then buy the cassettes and the programs and the mm-hmm. courses, now you've got an education there.
Well, the rest of that is, those are learning aids. The real learning and the wisdom comes from the actual experience, which, like you said before, that's when you're inside there. If you're learning a martial arts move, you have to be in there feeling it. And it has to become instinctual to where when you feel those shifts in the weight and when you feel those adjustments, and that can be in business too. There's times where you're in a business setting and you have to be able to interpret a person's gestures, the body language. You have to be in those moments to really execute them properly and make them work. If not, it's just theory.
Well, go ahead. Somebody had...
Well, I mean, what else you might notice is that if you feel like you're doing something correctly after watching videos, you're imitating them. But an expert may be able to fine-tune what you're doing, or maybe you think you're doing something the right way, but in reality, the expert's looking at you and saying, oh, no, you need to shift your weight this way a little bit, or you need to, you know,
there's always
whatever.
Nuances.
Shift. Yes, yeah. And a video is not going to give you that.
Rachel and Steve, you're both right.
Yeah, the video
analysis.
Gives you a good basis.
I still do that today. I mean, you know, I'm high-ranking in martial arts, and I still watch audios all the time, or mm-hmm. I watch YouTube, and, mm-hmm. and I'll be like, but because I'm so well versed in the basics of everything that's going on, I see a technique and I catch it fast. I'm like, oh, I see what he's doing, because that's kind of like that over there, and that's kind of like that, and that was like that. You know, but give you another example. I did not like school. That was not my thing. Okay, school bored me to tears. Okay, it was not challenging. It was uneventful. Okay, and I thought my teachers were idiots. And I'm not saying that every teacher out there is an idiot. That's not what I'm saying. I thought at that time when I was a teenager going to school, I thought that my teachers were idiots because basically they were moving me way too slow. It was boring as heck. But what happened was this. I ended up working at a health club. And what I got, I didn't understand, was that I got an apprentice program with a mentor with a thorough education on how to make money in sales. And what they taught me how to do was how to be a salesman. They taught me how to do that. Now, there's little variations of what I was taught throughout the years and whatnot and so forth, but because I was taught by a very good mentor, actually several mentors, I'm able to pick those things out very fast and pick them up, incorporate them, and move on. Now, what was sweet about that for me is that I was paid while being a mentor, earning the wage, and learning how to do this because they told me. If you learn how to do health club sales and marketing, you'll be able to be successful in any other sales and in anything ever, at any time. I didn't really understand why. I mean, I was kind of like, that's kind of weird, right? Like, what does selling health club members have to do with selling cars or selling pizza or selling lumber or selling a house, selling clothes? And how does that? I don't think that's right. But anyway, I'm making money right now, so that's all that matters, okay? So they were right, okay? Because what I saw is that once I got through my training, I begin to realize, wait a minute, I really could sell that other stuff because I would see other salesmen doing it, and I'm like, oh, they're not doing this, and they're not doing that, and they're missing that, and why are they doing it that way? And, oh, they didn't preset that right, and that, oh, that's not, oh, what are they doing, you know? And so you actually begin to like, wow, I really could do this stuff. And so you begin to realize one basic theme, and business is that way too. In sales and in business, and really marketing, there's basics. If you stick to the basics and incorporate today's technology with the basics, you're going to have a lot better chance at succeeding. Let me give a clear example. Let's say one of your basics is you handed out a business card, gave somebody a 30-second elevator speech, okay? And in return, you got their business card back from them. You go home, and instead of picking up the phone and calling them, you shoot them an email. Boop. Now they got your email. So now you've got something that's a new technology that we didn't have back then that we can do now to say, hey, Steve, I really appreciate talking to you today. I've been thinking about what you said. I got a little proposal here for you. I'm going to shoot it to you in a nonchalant way and take your time, look at it, and I'll get back with you in a few days, and we'll go from there. I think this might help you. Okay, boom. And then a day or two ago, you call back in the morning, leave a message, talk to them, say, hey, I shot you that email. Just want to make sure you got it and everything's good. Talk to you, blah, blah, blah. You know, so the point is, if you take the basics of marketing and running a business and doing sales hasn't changed. Every single thing I read, every single book, I'm grabbing it like, they're going to teach it all over to me again. I get through the book and I'm like, oh, well, I already know that. But you do pick up nuggets of knowledge, so you got to keep your mind open. And that nugget of knowledge you can incorporate into what you already have. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was just going to say that was a good distinction in like a new technology. You know, a few years ago, a decade or so more, that would have been a fax. You know, so instead of an email, it would just come in a different format.
That was a good point. Are you one of those guys who just tries to one-up the other person? Is that
always.
Yeah.
Not really.
If you've ever watched that show, what is it? That zombie movie, Zombieland?
Yeah.
Is it Zombieland?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're walking down the street, and he gives a beautiful illustration of something that happened with a zombie. And then, what's the guy's name? The other guy?
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson. He's all like, he gives something better. And the kid's like, are you one of those guys who just tries to one up everybody else's story?
And his response was a one-up as well.
Exactly. And for all of those listening who like old, goofy, grade B horror movies, boy, did I find a doozy last night. Go to YouTube, type in The Planet of the Dinosaurs.
Awesome.
This movie, 1978, this movie was so generic. It was so bad. It was actually entertaining to watch it, laugh at it. So I watched this darn movie from the beginning to the end. So I know it was off track, but I'm coming back out. Bad boy. So we're back now. All right. However, so
I can do an on track.
Do it on track.
I remember struggling one time with something that was going on in my mind, and I was trying to learn how to handle something, and it. I just couldn't get it, no matter what I did. So finally, but I'm always looking to myself to try to do things on my own. And finally, I picked up the phone and called my mentor, who made it so much easier, gave me what obviously was a sound answer. Immediately, I was able to clear all of the debris from my mind and set out on a new course with a clear mind. So it kind of took me to get out of my own way and pick up that phone and call my mentor.
Well, and honestly, it is us who get in our own way 99.99% of the time.
That's why I mentioned that. I'm the first one to admit my flaws.
Yeah, I mean, I understand about admitting flaws. I mean, at one time I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't.
Right.
So, but I checked on it, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I checked. I wanted to make sure. All righty.
Get a mentor. Right.
Get a mentor. M-E-N-T-O-R. Did he say er? M-E-N-T-O-R. Find a mentor. Let's see here. 12 habits standing between you and what you want. Now, we got 5, 10, 15 minutes, I think, right? And then Ryan is going to kick me off here, and he's going to throw me out of the studio. So we're going to try to get through this for you. Playing it safe. Have you ever tucked something of value in a safe place out of fear that someone might ruin it or steal it from you? And then one day, woke up to realization that you had it. You know what? We did this last week, didn't we?
Yes.
I was just reading this.
Because you reminded me that I lost my sapphire and diamond earrings. I messed up.
I got the wrong one. But that's okay. Because you know why that's okay? Because I'm a fawn. I'm a force of nature, and I have other stuff with me that we can choose to talk about. And you know what? We haven't did a whole lot on business, and I kind of like to keep it going on the business cycle right now. So all you business owners, turn up the dial, grab your lemonade and your iced tea. But before we do this, I want to bring someone to you very special. His name, Max Power Marketing. Mm-hmm. Kurt Rashi, 702-445-4912. 702-445-4912 is a master mentor at building websites, doing search engine optimization, and social media marketing. If you have a problem, he's the man who can fix it. You ain't got no business going on, no emails, no purchases. You're just sitting there like a hump on a camel, just wondering what to do, and you're lost and confused and just don't know what to do. 702-445-4912. Allow Mr. Rashi of Max Power Marketing to change either your existing website, build you a brand new website, and get you the customers that you need to rock your life the way you want to rock it and be a force of nature. 702-445-4912. Now, if someone was to ask me, what do I feel is the most important thing, the most important subject that they could learn in business?
What is the most important subject that someone can learn in business?
Well, thank you for asking me, Kim. And since someone asked me, I'm going to answer. Sales. Learn to be the best salesman you can learn to be, because everything moves and revolves around sales. Everything has to be sold, and it needs someone to sell it. Selling is where the money is. Selling is where happiness is. Selling is what moves product and services and gets the world working. So, no matter what you're doing, if you plan on opening your own business, you plan on going to work for another business, you're currently working for a business and you're not doing sales, start learning the sales aspect of that business. Because when you learn the sales aspect of that business, you'll learn what really makes that business move. And I understand a lot of you guys are thinking, well, I build the widgets in the back room. Without my widget building, there wouldn't be no product. Heh. Okay, that's very true. Very true. I ain't going to argue. All right. However, if you're a widget builder and you learn how to sell, you're going to learn that business from another perspective, and that means you could move up in the company. If you're a salesman and a damn good one, listen to the widget builder. Let him teach you about the widgets and what they build, why they build them, how they build them, because he's just giving you more information and also learning the business from the other side as well. So it's like when you sit down and talk to Kurt Rashi of Max Power Marketing, as I often do, because he does all my web work. You know, you can tell that you're in the presence of a mentor, of someone who really knows what in the hell he is talking about when it comes to social media marketing, SEO, and building websites. Because, I mean, this guy can just go on and on and on and on and on about his topic. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, dude, you lost me back about 15 minutes here. You think we can back up and go back to that, okay? And kind of let me learn this a little bit as we go. And when you have that type of power, mm-hmm. yeah, that's power. When you know that business inside and out and you are a master salesman on top of it, let me tell you something. You're going to move product. You're going to move the service. Because there is nothing someone could ask you that would stump you. One of the worst things to do can happen to you in business is someone asks you a question, you go,
I don't know what the ingredients are.
I'm not sure. Now, you can always say, and sometimes if you do, just be graceful about saying, you know what, I'm not quite sure about that, but I'm going to find out. And I will get you an answer ASAP. That's a graceful way of doing it. Just be honest, recognize it, accept it, move on. But it's better to already know it. Because the quicker you can fire back with it, they're like, man, this guy really knows his business. You know, it makes them feel good that they're doing business with, say, with an individual who knows so much about their business they can fire back that fast. Because it means you care. You take a genuine interest in what it is that you're doing. So
it's also important to follow up once you say that that's you're going to look into it and that you get back with them.
Yeah, do it right away.
I had a copywriter, which I did not hire. I needed something written for me, and he goes, okay, send me a paragraph of what your product is. Shouldn't we talk in detail about what my product is, what my service is, what I want, what direction, who's my customer, so forth and so on?
Nope, you get a paragraph.
And he goes, like, no, I'll be in the paragraph. You know, don't, you know, that's not waste time. You know, I'm like, okay, I'll talk to you later.
Right.
And then I found another copywriter who's like, oh, yeah, let's talk on the phone. Send me a quick outline of your business, though. Send me a quick outline of who your, what it is, what is your, who's your customer, what do you hope to obtain, what do you hope for the customer to get, you know, just fill in these things. And he sent me this little form of like 12 questions. So I answered him. Then he and I talked on the phone for 2 hours about my business and what it is and the training that I do and what I expect and who's my customer is and what I want to deliver and so forth. That's the guy who got the business. That's the guy who wrote the copy. Because there are a lot of copywriters out there who will sell you the belief, and it's crap belief, that they'll just read your brochure and they've got it. Okay? That's not true. Any really good copywriter will tell you that you need to talk to the client. You need to understand the client. You need to understand their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their goals, who their customer is, what's their price point, you know, how's their program or service different from any other program or service out there? And you'll be amazed. You can go out there right now. You know, Steve can tell you. He's out there every day talking to sponsors about, you know, about the radio show here. And most of the people who he talks to have no clue about what their real goal is in business besides making money, who their real client is besides somebody's got enough money to afford their product, okay? And, you know, what's their overall vision? What's their mission for their business? I really don't have a clue. We don't really do that, you know, okay? And you're amazed at how do you people stay in business? And then you realize they're going out of business or they're not really making very much money, but they're still in business waiting to go out of business. And let me tell you something. If you're waiting to go out of business, you ain't in business at all. I mean, if you're waiting to go out of business, you need to make it your business to get busy finding out how to increase your business.
Make some changes.
You gotta make some changes. And the first
find
step
out
is,
what your passion
the
is.
Bottom line is, purgatory isn't heaven.
No, it is not. So talk to that salesman who calls you or that salesman who walks through your door, because they just might have one of the antidotes that you need to turn your business around. I don't know how many times people will say, what's that one thing, man? Yeah. I just need that
the magic bullet.
I need the magic bullet so that I know this will happen. What they don't understand, if you look at, you know, if you look at any great type of establishment, it's not built on one pillar. Your marketing, think of it, has a surface, it has a roof, and that roof from the surface needs to have many different pillars to help support the foundation. So you should have no less than 10 to 15 different things marketing-wise that you are working on any given month, because you may only get one or two deals from that one specific column. And if that one specific column is only bringing in one or two deals, you're going to lose.
Are you talking about, I know this is just a little bit different, but kind of I've always respected the way Geico has their advertising branched out into so many different markets, to the point where you don't even realize that the caveman is also associated with, you know, another commercial that they have, you know, where the person's moving from room to room to room, or, you know, and it's really not until much later that you actually realize that you've been hit by 5, 10 Geico commercials.
Fucking criminal.
Right? So I just always thought that that was an excellent marketing tactic, because they've got their, you know, their irons in the fire in a number of different campsites, you know, collecting people's interest from all different walks.
That's very true. I do agree with that. And that goes along with what I just said. Don't have one column.
Right.
You know, you got to get out there. And if you're thinking that all the business you're ever going to need is going to come from radio, you're wrong. And if you're thinking all your business you're ever going to need is going to come from TV, you're wrong. And if you're thinking all the business you're ever going to need is going to come from a newspaper ad, you're wrong.
Or referrals.
Or referrals. It goes on and on and on. And most people who own a business will tell you what their marketing program is. Their marketing program is, oh, yeah, we pass out business cards. Oh, that's our main thing, man. That's our main thing. How's that working for you? Well, it could be better. You know, okay, well, could it be better if you kept doing that, but you was also doing some other things? Might you get some other customers from doing some other things, too? Oh, man, that fancy advertising don't work.
I've concluded that a lot of those people just want to be cheap. They don't want to spend the money on producing some sort of marketing system to help get them better results, so they just kind of stick with what's easy and convenient.
And why do you think that is, Steve?
Well, again, initially, I think some people just don't have the money, and so they just sort of settle for less. They accept a mediocre standard of their own business practice.
They're thinking backwards also, instead of looking forward and trying to integrate new things.
Yeah, it may not be so growth-oriented. You know, they're not growth-minded. They're just sort of...
They focus on the limitations.
Mm-hmm.
They're focused on mediocrity.
And how do you think one of the best things is to do to move them out of that type of thinking, where they're thinking on the limitation, and get them to think about the what if, and what if I did do that? Maybe they're right. Maybe I do need more than one column.
Well, the first step is to get them to acknowledge that in their own internal dialogue, their own internal questioning. If I just state it for them, it's not believable. But if it's brought to their attention and then they question it themselves and realize, oh, okay, here's my own answer, then they start to accept that information a little bit more, as a little bit more of a truth to them, because they're coming to that conclusion. And that sounds like a little bit of a sales technique, but at the same time, that's how we also shift ourselves out of situations, is when we realize, oh, okay, that's my answer, that's my solution, as opposed to just someone telling me, oh, you're doing this wrong. Okay, I'm doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. I realize it now.
And a lot of things, especially for, you know, sponsorships, you know, for this show, what they really have to understand is that we are really there to try to help them. We have the best interest in them growing, because if they're not growing and flowing, they're not going to be with us for very long. And I want long-term relationships. I want to win. I want them to win. Mm-hmm. And we can only do business together long-term if we're both winning. And so I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that they are winning and that their business is growing, and that the person who listens to this show for personal development and self-development, I'm going to try to give them the very best information that I can to make sure that it works for them and keeps them growing and flowing, because that's what keeps people coming back to the show, mm-hmm. is that they keep coming back because they're like, you know, I don't want to miss that show because I learned stuff. Not to mention, that Brady dude is a funny cat, man.
Well, really quickly, they're looking for answers. They're looking for solutions to their problems, and hopefully they can find that within some of our sponsors as well.
Correct. On July 16th, we'll have Bodhi Sanders here with us. He's an author of two books, and he'll be talking about how to live the Zen way.
I can't wait.
Until then, remember, nothing in your life changes until you make it.
Battle with the mind. What makes you think you can do it now? Nobody in your family has ever done it. Battle with the mind. In fact, if you start, they'll all make fun of you. What makes you think you can do it now? It's called the thief in the mind that steals the dream and steals the promise. Makes you less effective than you should be.